Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Thank you for tuning in again this week. The website that carries what I'm about to share with you and more is, of course, www.remnantofgod.org. I pray that what I'm about to share with you will become a blessing to both you and your loved ones. As I touched on last week, and as I promised, I'd like to share with you an article regarding the unknown sterilization of American citizens between the years of 1929 all the way up to 1974. The headline reads, State Secret, Thousands Secretly Sterilized. And the subheadline is, North Carolina Women Among 65,000 Sterilized by Government, Often Without Their Knowledge, in 20th Century. ABC News reporting, May 15, 2005. This is from Windfall, North Carolina. It says, beneath the surface of this southern town, with its lush evergreens and winding riverbanks, is a largely forgotten legacy of pain, secrecy, and human indignity. My heart still bleeds, and it will forever bleed, because of what had happened to me, local resident Elaine Riddick said. Riddick was one of thousands of people secretly sterilized by the state between 1929 and 1974. From the early 1900s to the 1970s, some 65,000 men and women were sterilized in this country, many without their knowledge, as part of a government eugenics program to help keep so-called undesirables from reproducing. The procedures that were done to poor folks, said Stephen Selden, a professor at University of Maryland. They were thought to be poor because they had bad genes, or bad inheritance, if you will. And so they would be the focus of the sterilization. Even though the practice ended more than 30 years ago, some say the time has come to make amends. North Carolina was one of the first states out of 33 that once practiced sterilization to offer an apology. State Representative Larry Womble is ABC News Gavin originally reported this story for World News Tonight on April 23rd, 2005. So, but anyway, at least North Carolina is apologizing. But did you notice 33 states did this? That's insane. Even if only one state did it, that's bad enough. But when you see 33 are doing it, that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the federal government was the one, in fact, doing it all along. I mean, if 33 states are doing it, there's someone telling them to do it. And what really frosts my bonnet here is that this started in the 1920s, before Hitler and his genocidal mania came to light. You know what this means? Hitler wasn't the first one to come up with the idea of a perfect race. You know what this also implies? Hitler may have been federally funded. You know, an experiment by both the USA as well as the Vatican. Secretly funded, of course. We all know how the Vatican backed Hitler until he became extremely unpopular. I mean, had Hitler been better able to hide his mass murders, I'm sure he would have died a hero. But seeing how he was unable to keep it quiet, the Vatican decided to back off directly after the truth was made public. And factual evidence is now made public that this same exact Hitler-esque madness has been practiced in the United States of America before Hitler's arrival and long after his demise, in fact. I mean, need I remind you of the prophetic fulfillment so bluntly being displayed here? That nation's depicted as a lamb-horned beast in Revelation 13 is most assuredly the United States of America. And now we see it has been speaking as a dragon long before any of us were born, just as prophecy said. And some still believe we're not in the end times. Well, actually, that too is prophetic fulfillment. Is it not written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have from the beginning of creation. Yes, things are a lot further along than many like to admit. This is why so many scoff. They think it's easier to bury their heads in the sand than actually get their house ready for Christ's imminent arrival. Yeah, that's so sad when I think about that. I mean, they're actually forfeiting so much, and they never really know it. I mean, if man can see. I mean, even Scripture says it hasn't even dawned on the eyes of man what God has got, what, you know, what the Lord has in store for those who love Him, if they have just an inkling. And you can get that inkling by simply opening up a Bible and then embracing Jesus Christ as Lord, because He does reveal things to His people. I mean, my children hear my voice, He says in Scripture. So, but so many people want to continue on trying to find the void in their life by using drugs, alcohol, or whatever. Anyway, continuing, the next article is entitled Task Force Calls for Fortress North America. This is the Canadian Press, by the way, March 14, 2005. And it's being reported out of Washington. It says a prominent task force's elaborate vision of a common economy and security perimeter in North America by 2010 drew fire today from some Canadians who see it as a dangerous surrender of sovereignty designed to benefit big business. Okay, let's stop here for a minute. You know, this is why it's so easy for Satan to move people in any direction he pleases. He knows money talks. So yes, I agree, the main reason they are falling for this New World Order is because of the way it appears to benefit big business. It's never about the majority, or should I say the little guy, because they don't have the politicians doing their bidding. You know, but the little guy, or the majority, is what the devil wants to control. He already has the powers that be in his hip pocket. Now all he needs to do is make the money seem so far greater in value than human lives. Okay, I know they already see human life as merely a commodity they can use on either side of the fence. If money can be made to spare the lives, they will as well. And if they must die so as to make a buck, they're going to do that too. So we know whatever direction the money leads them is what they're going to do. So I mean, look at Clinton, for example. When he was running for governor of Arkansas, he was totally against abortion, totally against it, because he knew that's what would get him in office, because the majority of the voters are against it in Arkansas. But what about when he ran for office of the presidency of the United States of America? Well, he's all for it now. Not only that, he's the first U.S. president to bring in the partial birth abortion. I mean, it's bad enough they're killing the kids. They want to see the kids they kill. All right, continuing, the article goes on to say that the panel, which includes former Deputy Prime Minister John Manley and is backed by Canada's business elite, insists that leaders from Canada, the United States, and Mexico have a crucial chance at their meeting next week in Texas to start building the architecture of the future. Okay, some future, eh? I mean, let's drop the borders so as to make a buck. But wait a minute. Our governments have come up with a way to make it appear we're still secure. How? Well, do you recall last week's broadcast where I shared a few features of the new national ID card, or the real ID? I got some more information today. Well, I don't know if I'm going to hit it today. I'll probably get it, not next week, because we got pastor and author Robert Susser coming in next week for the broadcast. But I got some more information about a global convention that they're doing. In regards to, they're trying to get all the manufacturing companies coming together to try to figure out who can come up with the best idea for an ID card, an electronic passport, whatever. But anyway, those massively invasive ID cards, when those come to be, it won't, you know, it's not going to matter what nation you're a citizen of. They'll have all they need to control you by the mere flick of a switch. All right, now I touched on this a couple of weeks ago. This next article. And it's somewhat disturbing. I mean, I got tons of emails and articles about the problems with the public school systems, but this has to be one of the worst. I mean, there's a lot of them that are pretty disgusting, but this one kind of, like, you know, rubs me the wrong way. It came out on March 29, 2005. The headline reads, "Anti-gay students must be kept quiet. Lawsuit filed against districts, diversity training." And, of course, WorldNet Daily brought it forth. The article goes on to say, in its mandatory diversity training classes, a school district has instructed students who believe homosexual behavior is wrong to keep their opinions to themselves, prompting a federal lawsuit. The Arizona-based Alliance Defense Fund filed a motion for a preliminary injunction yesterday to immediately prohibit the Boyd County, Kentucky Board of Education from restricting the free speech of rights of students. "We are filing this motion because students are being forbidden from expressing their own viewpoint on this matter," said ADF Senior Legal Counsel Kevin Theriot. "That's unconstitutional and it must stop. The motion was filed in a February 15th lawsuit brought by Timothy Allen Morrison and other students and their parents against the Education Board. The training itself began as a result of the settlement of another lawsuit filed against the board by the Boyd County High School Gay Straight Alliance, represented by the American Civil Liberties Union. The school district is attempting to change the beliefs of students without their parents' consent. Thuria said, the provisions of any settlement arrangement must respect the constitutional rights of students. All middle and high school students in Boyd County schools are required to attend the special training. School policies and practice do not permit parents to opt their children out of the training, even if it violates their personal beliefs and morality, ADF said. And I got the entire article online if you want it. Do we need any more evidence that the public school system is a dangerous place for kids? I mean, let's just see what they have to offer, shall we? When your child goes to a public school, they can now learn all about oral sex, homosexual sex, group sex, condoms, and even masturbation. They can also learn about drugs, guns, bombs, as well as a host of other violent weapons. Their teachers are everything from witches, openly homosexual, pedophiles, and even murderers. The schools see nothing wrong in sharing X-rated movies with kids in health class to teach them the positive aspects of Hitler and his Third Reich. And over the last few years, I have gathered quite a few articles regarding the public school system in America. All right? Now, mind you, I wasn't researching any given topic at that time. It's just that whenever I saw something in my online research that struck my eyes as appalling or just plain outrageous, I would just tuck it away or file it away. At present, I have 436 articles. Now, let me just share just a few of the headlines I have stored at this time to give you an idea what the public school systems have to offer. I'll start with the most recent and move back from there. These are the headlines. And I'm just going to share like maybe 20 of them. I'm not going to, just the headlines. Gay and lesbian group admits to distributing homosexual how-to books in high schools. Student stabbed over name-calling. Parents sue to stop pro-gay curriculum. School nurses help girl get morning after pills. That's just not a, birth control pill. That's the abortion pill. Okay? Dad arrested for protesting gay book in his 6-year-old son's book bag. Police handcuff, and I saw this video. Police handcuff 5-year-old girl. Cute little girl, too. She had a little bit of an attitude problem. She was 5 years old. 11-year-old accused of counterfeiting. 9-year-old seeks to swap loaded .38 caliber pistol for an Xbox in school. I have many articles of teachers assaulting children both physically and sexually. I'm not even going to get into those. School guard takes blood from students in New York, New Jersey. School guard, not the nurse, school guard. Students forced to watch homosexual film or school will face lawsuit. Pro-homosexual film, that is. I mean, it's not X-rated or nothing like that. They're just showing the positive aspects of homosexual lifestyle. Or the school faces a lawsuit. Again, money is moving these people. Continuing, coach arrested for children in the locker room while hiding in the ceiling. Teacher declares that God is too boring. Seminar teaches children how to use condoms by having kids place them on cucumbers. I saw the video, as well as them making jokes about putting the cucumber, or not the cucumber, the condom over the kid's head, and they got the condom up to where his nose is, and they told the kid to blow real hard with your nose, and then they filled the condom up, made him look like a cone head or whatever, and everybody laughed and thought it was the wonderful, funny thing. Continuing, teacher arrested for biting a 10-year-old student. That's right, biting. Educators seek to change B.C., like A.D. and B.C. in your calendars, to before Common Era instead of before Christ. Seminar teaches children the benefits of a career in stripping. The benefits of a career in stripping. School, I got all these articles. I am not kidding you. These are actual headlines of articles, okay? School districts distributes sex calendar depicting satanic as well as normal sex positions for each day of the month. A school district, not just a school, the entire district did that. Declaration of Independence banned at a Los Angeles school. Popping pills in preschool. That's the headline. Popping pills in preschool. Oral sex taught to cut teen pregnancy rates down in school. Homework assignment in a school seminar is to go home and masturbate. Teacher arrested for ordering student thrown from window. That's right, that's a headline. The teacher got mad, I guess, and they had some of the other big kids throw a kid out a window. Child finds gun in schoolyard during Easter egg hunt. Teacher hangs student in closet. He didn't kill him, he's just hanging him there as discipline. Teacher kills two young rabbits with a shovel in front of the entire classroom. Baby rabbits. Five-year-old brings marijuana to school. Four-year-old brings $10,000 worth of crack to school to show off to his friends. A four-year-old. Homosexual book for six-year-olds in North Carolina schools. Infant dies after his mother gave birth on a school bus. Ohio school board okays evolution lessons, even though the scientists of today are begging them to stop teaching evolution because it's making scientists look stupid, because they know it's impossible. High schooler suspended for passing out Christian tracts. Creationism blocked over fears of indoctrination. Oh, but they'll preach homosexuality. God forbid you preach about creationism, though, because they're already preaching evolution, so they can't do that. And then, of course, now the Bible is being taught in public schools. That's a headline, too. Bible taught in public school. You know, like I said, I only scanned the first 100 emails. And I got, I think, maybe 15 or 20 that I just shared with you out of those headlines. Just the first 100. It is truly insane in the schools now. Not a safe place by any means for a child in any school. However, the government not only approves of all this, they force it on every citizen. Seriously, one of these days, I'm going to make a webpage on the website with all these articles. If it will help but one family get their child out of school, it's going to be all worth it. All right, next article. Laos torturing Christians. Now, just the other day, I received, before I get into the article, an alert regarding some Christian persecutions going on. Now, I know it's happening daily, now on a global basis, even here in the States, you can find it everywhere. There is persecution now commonplace in every walk of life, from the school systems to the workplace. If you're a Christian, you're going to be attacked, plain simple. If you're a homosexual, a Muslim, a witch, or even a Satanist, you're going to be protected, though. The article goes on to say that the government of Laos has launched a new crackdown on Brew tribal Christians in southern Savannakhet. 24 Brew Christians were arrested the last week of March. They were beaten, tied to a post under the hot sun, tortured with red ants, and asked to sign documents renouncing their faith. Eventually, 22 of the believers, under great duress, signed the documents and were released. The other two remain in prison, praise the Lord. Meanwhile, other Christians living in Muanganpin district have been threatened with serious harm if they meet together for prayer or for worship. This came out of Compass Direct. It's a news source for persecuted Christians worldwide. You know, I received this, by the way, from Rick in Canada. He forgot to add the source to it, so when I placed the quote in the search engine query, I found this article on quite a few websites that track persecutions. You know, I just picked this one that was reporting it coming from Compass Direct as a valid source for the story so that I could put it on a broadcast. Okay, now, this next topic that I'm going to go into, it's not an article, it's an actual email. I guess we're going to go into the emails from this point forward. This is from Mark in Florida, and he asks, Jesus drank wine, didn't he? All right? He goes on to say, I read your site and commented. Now, that's a little bit hard for me to believe because the site's got a little over 3,300 pages, and so he may have been talking about a certain section of the site, but he goes, I read your site and commentary regarding the evils of alcohol, and while I agree with you, for the most part, how do you reconcile Christ's drinking of wine? Or the Bible stating that it's not what goes into a man that corrupts him, but rather what comes out. He's paraphrasing, of course. It even goes so far as to admonish those who tell you not to eat this or drink that. This is interesting. Could the Mormons be correct about alcohol? Well, my response would have to be, yes, alcohol is bad for the body. Jesus never drank fermented grape juice, or wine, if you will. The word wine, as we know it today, is not the same as it was penned in Scripture. The wine in the Bible is used to speak of both fermented and non-fermented grape juice. Fermentation is actually a form of decay. The grape juice actually begins to rot. This is what causes it, you know, to become fermented. And as fermentation continues, it becomes what we call today alcohol. This is why you don't put new wine in old wineskins. As the wine ages, it begins to rot and emit gases. An old wineskin has already been stretched to the limit with the previous batch of wine from its gases. By putting new wine in an old wineskin, which has already been stretched to the limit, it's going to cause the skin to burst. It's best to put new wine in new wineskins. I mean, there's a scriptural way to prove this. Jesus never drank fermented wine by seeing what his prophets did. If his prophet refuses to drink alcohol, then that proves Christ wouldn't either, right? This is understood simply because it is he that instructs the prophet in the first place. Now, looking into the book of Daniel, we see this. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince and of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now, if Daniel knew the unclean meat and wine on the king's table would defile his body, then it's easy to see that Christ would never have indulged in wine drinking either. And by the way, rotten wine could not be used at the Last Supper either for two reasons. The wine was to represent his blood. As we know from Scripture, the Holy One, which is Christ, would never see corruption in the grave or in sin. Psalm 16. If the wine is rotten at the Last Supper, then this means two things. Jesus will rot, and Jesus will have sin. But we know this is not the case. By the way, after I sent the biblical evidence to Mark from Florida about the evils of wine and how Jesus nor his prophets drank it, I was sent back one of the vilest hate emails I have ever received in quite some time. I mean, no four-letter words, mind you, but much name-calling and lies about me in the ministry. The reason I am sharing this with you is to warn you that no matter how gentle and how loving you are with some and how much biblical evidence is presented, some love their sin so much that they will do exactly as Jesus said they would do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." This is exactly what Mark and many like him do when you prove to them, using a Bible, that the sin they embrace is in fact sin and very dangerous to them. This is why you see strange laws against the Bible in Canada, as well as in the USA now. When you use a Bible to prove the sin to be just that, sin, the sinner will have one of two ways to react. They'll be cut to the heart and repent of their sin, or they can be angered to the point of lashing out at the one that loves them enough to tell them the truth. Judging by the first email I received from Mark, I had no idea whatsoever that he had a problem with alcohol until he responded as he did. All I saw in the original email was what appeared to be a genuine question. I assumed that he stated the info to help a friend. So be very careful out there. With your approaches, I mean, some that you approach may have ulterior motives for obvious reasons. You know, I'm not going to be sharing Mark's email with you. Suffice it to say that I forgive him 100%. Because I know in my heart, if he truly knew what he was doing was wrong, he wouldn't do it. And he certainly wouldn't lash out at somebody, you know, who's telling them the truth. I mean, it's like Scripture says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Well, in some cases, yes, this is going to be the case. You can't get around it. It's the result of the times we live in. And it's no mistake that we are living in these times. I mean, you could have been born 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, but no, the Lord knew you would walk in a particular path and needed your walk to help glorify him in either direction. So, anyway, that's about it for this portion of the broadcast. I'm going to be back in a few minutes. We got a lot more emails to share, so please stay tuned to the Truth Provided broadcast. Be back in about 3 or 4 minutes.